This is On the Tee with Anita Marks.
Welcome in. It is On the Tee. Talking all things golf with you for this first hour. The 9 o'clock, we switch over and we talk about everything under the sun. We've got a great show lined up for you with some really fantastic guests today. As always, our golf show On the Tee, John Mascari, Christina Thompson will be joining us in the next hour. We'll get you ready for the final round of the Zurich Classic happening over there, down there in the Big Easy. Where my money is flowing pre-tournament and now. And then 9 o'clock, we're going to rock and roll. Obviously, a lot of NFL talk as the NFL draft came to a conclusion yesterday. So both the Giants and the Jets, their 2024-2025 draft class is complete. We'll hear from Jordan Renan coming your way at 9:30 in the morning to talk about what the Giants have done. We'll hear from Rich Cimini at 10:30 this morning to talk about what the Jets have done and then what we can expect in this offseason with both these teams. So, and also, a very dear friend of mine, one of the best scouts out there in the business, Mike Gideon, is going to be joining us at 11 a.m. and we'll get his assessment, how he thinks the Jets did, how he thinks the Giants did, and who, in his opinion, walked away with the best draft class. A lot of people are loving what the Washington Commanders were able to do. And also, I think the Eagles doing Eagles things as they always do and just get very fortunate. It blows me away just how fortunate the Eagles are each and every year. It's pretty wild. So we'll talk to, again, Jordan Renan, Rich Cimini, Mike Gideon. Excited to have them on. Moak Hamilton is going to be joining us as well at 10 a.m. Let's talk some NBA. The Knicks back in action today, up 2-1 in the series against the 76ers. They're down there in Philadelphia. What can we expect? We'll dive into that. We'll look big picture. The Lakers avoiding another sweep from the Denver Nuggets. I call potentially vacuumed if you're getting swept 2 years in a row, and they were able to avoid that. LeBron James having a LeBron James night. So we'll talk some NBA, get you ready for the Knicks game, and on till 12:30. So you've got me for a heavy dose this morning because we're leading into our Knicks pregame show coming your way at 12:30. And of course, that game this afternoon at 1 o'clock. You'll be able to listen to that right here on 98.7 ESPN. We have Tom and Harvey who are producing the show. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Anita. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. It's my birthday weekend.
Oh, so happy birthday.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. My birthday is tomorrow. So, but you know, always fun to celebrate it over the weekend. So went out last night, wasn't sure how I was going to feel this morning, but I'm okay. I'm doing okay. Like no hangover. I wasn't sure. Right.
That's not really a good sign if you're not even sure.
Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to have a hangover or not, Harvey.
That's the thing. What do you mean? I'd like to think you'd be more sure of yourself.
That I would have a hangover?
That you would know if you didn't or did not have a hangover. It's not really the best of signs if you just say, oh, you know, maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
Here's
50-50.
No, you're not understanding. I wasn't sure how the night would evolve. So I wasn't sure if I was going to have a hangover today or not.
Exactly. That's not really a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with this. What was the game plan? What was the game plan for yesterday?
I'm curious. Is it not a good sign that I'm actually not hungover right now, or is it?
No, that's a lot better.
Or is it not
purposes.
A good sign that I'm not hungover? Does it mean that I might not have had a good time last night? Like I'm trying to understand the flood. Like on one aspect, you know, uber professional that I'm not hungover on a Sunday morning where I have to host 4.5 hours by myself, or not a good sign. Maybe I didn't have a great time last night. I'm trying to understand where the flow's going.
Well, let's start with this. What was the game plan yesterday?
I went to a burlesque supper club in the city called Duane Park.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And
it was fantastic.
It was fantastic.
Oh, it was fantastic. Oh, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you haven't been, you need to go. People visit New York. It's one of those spots where it's a treat. And if anybody's coming to New York, that's a spot you want to take them.
Sounds like a place to have a few drinks.
Yeah, exactly. See? Exactly. But nonetheless, I'm here, you're there. We've got Tom and Harvey producing the show. We've got a jam-packed show with a lot of guests, and I am not hungover. That is a plus. Let's dive into it. The Zurich Classic is happening right now in New Orleans. I lived there for about 4 years, by the way. Attended this tournament quite frequently, played this golf course quite frequently as well. Blair and Fishburne are at the top of the leaderboard. And I know you're saying, who the hell's that, Anita? I agree with you. Listen, my dogs aren't even happy about it. This is a problem right now in regard to the PGA Tour and what's happened with LIV, right? And you've got like all these fantastic players that just bolted the PGA Tour. They're now on LIV. And you're looking at the leaderboard. So Blair and Fishburne at the top leaderboard at 23 under. Now, keep in mind, I kind of got ahead of myself. So, folks, if you're listening to a golf show, I'm assuming that you play golf, you're into golf. I'm just stating the obvious. So the Zurich Classic is a two-man team tournament, okay? So there's four rounds alternating four ball. And so rounds first and third is best ball between the team, the two players, and rounds two and four is alternating shots. So we're heading into today, which is round four. So now we're talking alternating shots. Okay. And a lot of these dudes pick their teammate based on their friendships and how long they've known each other and whatnot. So Blair and Fishburne, again, who are top of the leaderboard right now at 23 under, they tee off around 1:55 p.m. Eastern time. They've known each other since they were youngsters playing golf together in Utah. Now, Blair was off the tour for quite a while because of a serious shoulder injury that caused him to miss nearly 2 years. Fishburne is a rookie on tour and has made just two cuts so far this season. Neither of these cats have won on the PGA Tour. Fairburn is playing the PGA Tour for the first time, of course, this season, after qualifying on the Korn Ferry Tour. So you got to assume heading into today's round, I talk about it all the time, it's one thing to be the hunter, it's another to be hunted. They are being hunted. They haven't won on the PGA Tour. I want to imagine that the nerves are going to be pretty substantial. So I am fading them. By the way, they are not favored to win, even though they are at the top leaderboard. They are plus 450 to win. You can also play them to finish in the top five at minus 140. I have nothing to do with it. I have no desire. I'm keeping my money far away from them. Okay. Where I do find some value is the twosome that's right behind them. And that's List and Norlander. They are 22 under, so they are one shot back. As we know, List, a veteran, so List has won twice on the PGA Tour the last 3 years. Norlin is yet to win on the main stage. However, twice he made it to a playoff. Unfortunately, he lost in the playoff. I take that back. He's yet to win on the main stage this year. He's won twice on the PGA Tour, but not this season. They're the only twosome inside the top four to break 70 on Friday. So, and you could get them at 5-1 to win this bad boy at minus 125. Now, here's another thing for you. If you're looking at the leaderboard and you're saying, okay, who do I want to put my coin on? There's been six previous editions of this event where it's team play. Okay. This format. And out of those six, nobody has won being back more than three strokes through 54 holes. Okay, so what we're looking at is we're stopping off at the top five. Okay, and then two more twosomes I want to tee up for you, no pun intended. So by the way, I am going to put some coin on List in Norlander at 5-1. I'm also going to put a nice chunk of change on them to finish in the top five at minus 125. Okay, now you've got Rory and Lowry, who are 21 under. So they're two shots back. They tee off at 144 today. They are favored to win this bad boy at plus 260. Now, Rory and Lowry, they've been friends for 25 years. Of course, we know they played and grew up across the pond. Windy conditions at TPC Louisiana yesterday and expected again today. So obviously, you know, you look at some of the best golfers who play in those type of conditions, it's Lowry and it's Rory for sure. Rory's making his debut in this event. Lowry shot 8-under 64 on Saturday at TPC Louisiana. Rory was just unbelievable with his flat stick yesterday, making birdies at 9, 10, 11, 13, 16, and 18 because of his putting. Can he do it again? We'll see. Again, they're a favorite at plus 260. I don't think that there's a lot of value there. And last but not least, this is the twosome that I had before the tournament began. If you saw me on ESPN Bet on Wednesday, this was the twosome I was all over, and it was the Canadian twosome of Taylor and Hadwin. I have them winning top five and top 10 Canadian team. They finished second last year. Taylor has won twice in the last 11 months, ranks in the top 10 on approach. Hadwin top 15 in birdies or better percentage on tour. And again, they are in that realm where they're only three shots back. You can get them to win this bad boy at 9-1, and you can also get them to finish in the top 10 at plus 140. It's my favorite bet, and obviously my dogs agree. We're going to take a break. I'm going to see what's going on, why they're all riled up. We get back. John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, is going to join us next here on 98.7 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is On the Tee with Anita Marks.
It is On the Tee here on 98.7 ESPN. This segment brought to you by Skyway Golf Course. Make sure you head out there. Weather's going to be beautiful this week. I'll give you a weather update a little bit later on the show. But we got John Mascari, head pro at Alpine Country Club, joining us. Good day today for golf, that's for sure. What do you have going on there at Alpine? Something big happening today, John?
You know, we do. Good morning, Anita. We have our opening day tournament slated to start at about 9 o'clock. So as you can imagine, I'm running around a little bit, but always have time for On the Tee.
I love it. Fantastic. I was away down in Florida visiting Mama Mimi and my brother and my nephews who love me to pieces. Oh, they're so cute. And so you and I have not had an opportunity. Let's look back before we look forward. Scottie Scheffler doing Scottie Scheffler things. It's really unbelievable winning the Masters and then of course the Heritage, where he's just his all around game is so good outside his putting. What's frightening is if his flat stick would be even just a little bit better, like dare I say, Tiger Wood, vintage Tiger Wood at his peak?
Yeah, be careful saying that around here.
That's hallowed
ground for sure. But if you look at the statistics with Scotty, and this is not just an anomaly, we've been talking about it for at least another year prior. He has consistently been one of the best ball strikers on the tour. Mm-hmm. The only problem was the putter, and it's not great, but it's good enough. That makes sense, right? This is insane. It's almost like if you remember, hey, I'll take Tiger, you take the field for tournaments. And it's becoming that point where Scotty is a favorite and in the hunt at every time he puts the tee in the ground. And it just goes to show you how good of an athlete he is, how focused he is on winning, how mentally strong he is. I think that's the part that doesn't get the accolades is that his mental strength is so strong. He's up in the top of the tour with birdies after bogeys, right? So if he makes a bogey, he quickly gets back and rights the ship. And I think something like that is what allows him to always be in the hunt, always be competitive, never out of a tournament. But now it's a matter of, hey, where's Scotty? We hear a roar. That must be Scotty. Not quite the Tiger yet, but we're getting close.
I don't know. It sounds like it. So here's the thing. His wife is about to pop a baby out. If she hasn't already, I'm not sure. I have not been on top of that, but we know that she was 9 months pregnant or close to thereof, 2 weeks away when he was teeing it up at the Masters. And the story was, if she went into labor, regardless if he was top of the leaderboard, hasta la vista, he's out, the birth of his child, more important than anything else. With that being said, again, he won the Masters, he won Heritage. You could wager right now that Scotty is going to fulfill the Grand Slam at 40-1. 40-1. So what does that mean, everybody? It means if you put a dollar down, for every dollar you put down, you get $40 back, okay? But I own dogs. I don't own children. You have two phenomenal children, I might add. How much, and granted, you know, he can hire an au pair. It's my friends. You have a nanny? Oh, I have an au pair. Whatever. They could have all the help in the world, John. How much do you feel that the birth of this child is going to affect his season that has been remarkable so far?
I really can't see it affecting it at all. Honestly, I don't think that. I think it's good. It might be even a motivation for him. You know, he's a well-rounded and well-grounded individual. You know, he does not hide the fact that he's very religious, and he leans on that. That background and that belief to help him. I can't see this being anything more than a motivating tool. He's now a family man, a dad. He's going to want to go out and win for his family. And I can't see it being that much of a distraction. Now, to your point, Anita, money handles a lot of problems. As you know, it's real easy for these guys to say, I've got a team of so-and-so who's going to help my wife, and I've got an au pair or a nanny or a fleet of nannies who will help our family as the baby comes home from the hospital. His focus is on golf. His focus is going to be on providing for his family, and I think it will not deter him. Now, 40-1 is I think the odds should be a little higher, don't you think? I mean, the Grand Slam is...
You think they should be 100-1? I mean, it is Scottie Scheffler, and he's already got one in the bag. And he should be 5-for-5. He's 4-for-5. He should be 5-for-5. He missed a 4-foot putt in Houston. Could have won 5 straight.
That's right. That's right.
It's funny. Like I said, I just got back from Florida visiting my brother and my sister-in-law. And so their oldest son, Judah, is teetering on 6, and then they have a year and a half. And, man, they got their hands full. But meanwhile, up here, you know, I've got obviously friends up here that make a lot more significant coin than my brother and sister-in-law do down in Jacksonville, Florida. And man, their lifestyles are totally different, right? Like, so you're right. You know, if people are handicapping Scotty about to have a child, when you've got that kind of money, your lifestyle doesn't have to change very much when you have children. So very interesting to see. By the way, did you read that his caddy, Ted Scott, has made more money this season than Rory has? Did you read that? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Ted Scott. So I want folks to marinate in that for a minute. Scotty Scheffler's caddy, Ted Scott, has made more money this golf season than Rory has. Just marinate in that for a minute. Just to tell you how good Scotty Scheffler is. It's really unbelievable. So this Zurich Classic taking place in New Orleans, you know, lackluster. Granted, Rory and Lowry are up there. I have Taylor and Hadwin. That was my pick coming in. They're only 3 shots back. I'm going to double down on them because you can get them at 9-1. That's my play right now. I'll also throw some money on List and Norlander. Who do you like finishing this out? Who do you have here?
You know, it's real easy to look at Rory and Shane Lowry. You know, they've been friends for 25 years. This is almost just a Sunday round of golf between buddies. But I didn't really, I mean, they started off slow. They finished real strong, right? Rory hit an amazing shot on 18 that 3 feet away from being a putt for eagle, but it rolled into the bunker, but gets it up and down. I look at the way Shane Lowry has been playing, and it kind of gives me some pause. Like, as good as Rory is, okay, it's the better ball. Like, he can kind of, Shane can lean on Rory a little bit. Now we're going alternate shot, right? So Shane Lowry's going to have to play a big part of it. I just don't like the game he's had of late. And I'm with you. I love the Taylor Hadwin team. I think they have a lot to show. I think they're playing well. They're both very well-rounded players. You know, they're trying to get on that President's Cup team that Mike Weir is captaining in Canada. So how great would it be to have them? And this is kind of like a little bit of a showing to the captain that, hey, we're a good team together. You might want to put us together on the President's Cup. You know, I think if they finish in the spot they are, Nick Taylor's obviously, I think he's third or fourth on the list, but Adam Hadwin's kind of on the cusp. But what a great kind of preview for Captain Mike Weir to say, hey, these two guys could be on my President's Cup team and finish strong. And they're only two back, like I said, both well-rounded players. So when you look for guys that feed off each other, that both kind of have a similar game in this alternate shot format, at 9-1, I like those guys.
And there are three shots back, just FYI. And they do tee off at 1:22 p.m. Before I let you go, some big news this week on the tour, and that's kind of the loyalty bonus. I know you like to call it the thank you cash from the PGA Tour. Tiger Woods expected to get a $100 million bonus. Rory expect to get a $50 million bonus. Spieth and Justin Thomas expect to get a $30 million bonus. 200 players are going to divvy up $750 million that are going to go, well, there's 200 players, but $750 million are going to go to the top 36 players. So explain the thank you cash situation that is going to be handed out and how this all relates to LIV. John, thank you.
Yeah, it's so if you remember back in January, Strategic Sports agreed to invest into the PGA Tour, right? They gave...
Which, by the way, big shout out to Steve Cohen,
yeah,
owner of the Mets.
Part of that, yep.
Steve Cohen is part of it, and so is Arthur Blank, giving $3 billion to the PGA Tour enterprise for this. So big shout out, right. Steve. Way to go.
So here they are giving out money, right, to the top players as a thank you for staying. Now, I think it should be known that they're not just getting a check, right? They're getting, it's essentially like equity. So if you think of it, they're getting shares. And they have, these shares don't vest for a certain amount of time. So it's not like they're running to the bank and cashing this check. They're going to get installments and shares, and they have to wait, let's say, 3 years, I believe, for it to vest, and then another 2 years for the next portion. So it's a long game. But, you know, it sounds very familiar. is this exactly what LIV did? Pretty much. We're paying the guys for staying here. We're paying the guys to come here. They need to get a merger done. This is just watering down the golf on both ends. And I think you'd agree with me. I mean, you kind of opened up the show with, okay, we're in the Zurich. Has anyone really heard of these guys? Is it kind of must-watch TV? Is viewership down in golf? Yes, on TV. You know, at some point, the races are good, but you want to see the thoroughbreds at some point. So we'll see how this changes the deal with the merger and if they can work out something finally. You know, we've been talking about it for so long that they've been close, they've been off, they've been back. It's just a lot of money being thrown around for professional golf, and I don't know how much longer we can withstand it.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like a deal is anywhere close. It's been 11 months, and, you know, everything that I'm reading in the comments from Rory and the comments from Tiger and the comments from, you know, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, and it doesn't sound like they're even close to a deal, John.
Yeah, they've been close, and then they've backed off, and then they got this influx of money. But how long is this going to last for? Is this the way it should be? At some point, both sides are becoming diluted, right? I think we would agree with that, right? Which means viewership is going down. People are not going to tune in, which means sponsor money is going to go down, which means you might not have X amount of tournaments, which you're going to have a shorter schedule. And this is all stuff that is really hurting the game of golf as a whole, professional golf. You know, you look at the PGA Tour. There's been rumors that the PGA Tour wants to buy the PGA of America, right, which has two aces in their hand that they own the Ryder Cup and the PGA Championship. You remember, the PGA Tour doesn't own any of the majors, right? They don't have any of them. So they need something like that for TV, for financial, and they don't have anything. So, and they're losing tournaments, and they're losing participation and sponsors. So it's all great that they've got this influx of money, but you have to fix the model. And I still think it all ends with the merge.
John Mascari joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. We've got to let him go. It's their opening tournament at Alpine Country Club today. So, John, beautiful weather. Enjoy. Appreciate your time, my friend.
Thank you. Have a great day, everyone. Go out and play golf. Thanks.
You got it. You got it. Quick break. We come back. Let's open up the phone lines. 800-919-3776. Just curious. How confident are you that Scottie Scheffler could complete the Grand Slam? He's already got the Masters under his belt. Up next, of course, is the PGA Championship coming your way May 16th in Kentucky, Valhalla Golf Club in Kentucky. He finished tied for second last year at Oak Hill. And then the U.S. Open is at Pinehurst, which requires pinpoint iron play, which, of course, we know he has. So Scottie Scheffler, Grand Slam, 40-1. Are you going to the window for that? 800-919-3776. We'll be right back. Anita Marks, back with you live. It's golf season, Avi. Beautiful days, beautiful views. Reminds me of Rock Spring Golf Club. Have you heard of it? You should. It's New Jersey's premier daily fee golf club. Golf Week calls it one of the best courses you can play in New Jersey. Rock Spring, 6,600-yard, par 71 course, rolling tree-lined, one of the best walking courses. Trademark design. Legend Seth Rayner, unbelievable sand traps. That's an oxymoron. Please visit them at rockspringgolf.com. Have a look around. Reserve a tee time on their site. They've got junior and adult instructions, golf leagues, so much more. Also want to remind you, Kemper Sports, who owns a number of these golf courses here up and down the turnpike, has a great app out. Make sure you download it on your iPhone or your droid, Kemper Sports. It's called Tour of the Turnpike. So you could play Rock Spring. You could play Skyway, Heron Glen, Ashbrook, Galloping Hill, Shady Rest. The more you play, you get rewards on the app. How fun is that? Again, Tour of the Turnpike. The more courses you play, you earn rewards. Again, check them out online, rockspringgolf.com.
This is On the Tee with Anita Marks.
Anita Marks with you. This is On the Tee here on 98.7 ESPN. This segment brought to you by Rock Spring Golf Club. We're just talking about them. It's about that time. Weather is going to be absolutely gorgeous this week. Well, today is going to be nice. I thought the sun would be out a little bit more today, but nonetheless, no rain in the forecast, which is great, especially in the afternoon, in the evening. Tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, is supposed to be unbelievable, unbelievable. And Thursday and Friday is supposed to be nice as well. So if you're planning a tee time, you want to get out there. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday are your best days next week. Wednesday, you have a 30% chance of rain. Saturday, 40, and Sunday, 30 next week. But Sunday, you're not going to be playing golf because you're going to be in Stamford, Connecticut, watching me and Imani kick Rick and Dave's butt at pickleball. So you don't even have to worry about the weather conditions on Sunday. So there's that. Tom, have you been producing for Dave and Rick?
Yeah, I was with them this past Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Okay, and give me an update here. What's going on with them?
They're very confident in their abilities. They're They're
really
very confident in their abilities. They're calling Imani Armani, I think, because a caller did that. They've started to do that as well. So, like, I think they feel the pressure ultimately, and they don't want to admit it.
So I heard, I think Joe and Harvey yesterday were saying, so Dave has been practicing every day now. He joined some pickleball camp.
Supposedly, that's a rumor I heard.
Okay. And is Rick practicing, or is Rick just like, you know, I'm an athlete, I'm gonna, you know.
To be honest, I'm not too sure about Rick, but he's probably in the best shape to be doing it, at least compared to Dave. So practice or no practice, I think Rick will be pretty in shape for the big day.
And have they played pickleball together ever? Have they ever been together playing pickleball?
I don't believe so. I think they've done stuff on their own.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a problem. Okay. Well, it's going to be the best of five. We're really excited about it. Are you going to be up there with me on Sunday, Tom?
I will be back here in studio on Sunday working on the show.
Okay. Do you plan to drive up there after the show to watch the match?
Well, I'll be here till 3 o'clock next Sunday. So that's
a big fat no.
No.
Yeah. So I'll be on from 8 to noon next Sunday from Pickleball America. Really excited about it. And then I get off. I'm given about 30 minutes to warm up. Thank you to our PR staff for arranging that. An hour would have been nice, but it's okay.
You're a pickleball pro, and you don't need that full hour to warm up.
And then our match, which from what I understand is now going to be the best of five. I'll be hard pressed to think that Rick and Dave want to be pickled five times in a row. Is going to start at 12:30, and we'll go probably again. Armani. I love that. Armani and I will probably pickle them. So you got to think maybe like 10 minutes each game. So probably we'll be over in less than an hour. So. That's how confident I am. And then I'm actually playing in the doubles, the mixed doubles that starts at 2 o'clock with my good friend Tony. So definitely not sure what your plans are. It is Cinco de Mayo. So after I get done with my mixed doubles, I am definitely going to head to some type of local Mexican watering hole up there in Stamford, Connecticut, and enjoy my Cinco de Mayo before we head home. And of course, I'm bringing a driver. So, because you always want to be responsible. Also, I want to give a shout out to Master Athletics, a gentleman named Ben, who sent me a paddle. So, with this little note, "Hi Anita, best of luck with the match in May. Look forward to meeting you there." So, Ben, again, Master Athletics, thank you so much. Really do appreciate it, and look forward to meeting you as well. We're really excited about it. Hopefully, folks have. I know it's somewhat of a trek up there, but hopefully you've planned to come up there for the day. Please know how much all of us here at 98.7 ESPN would appreciate your presence. Looking ahead in regard to the golf schedule, what's coming up next after the Zurich Classic? You got the CJ Cup, the Byron Nelson taking place in Texas, then the Wells Fargo taking place in North Carolina, then they head to Myrtle Beach. For the Myrtle Beach Classic, and then the next championship, major championship, is May 16th through the 19th, the PGA Championship at Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky. Brooks Koepka looking to defend his title. And then, of course, the third major is June 13th through the 16th, and that's the U.S. Open at Pinehurst in North Carolina. And then last but not least, the Open, July 18th through the 21st. The 21st, and that is in Scotland. So three majors left. Scottie Scheffler, you could wager that he will win all three in the same calendar year at 40-1. 800-919-3776. Are you going to the window on that? We get back. Christina Thompson, golf for her, will join us. Nelly Korda is playing just as good of golf as Scottie Scheffler, but nobody is talking about it. Why? We'll dive into that next here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is On the Tee with Anita Marks.
On the Tee here at 98.7 ESPN. We welcome in Christina Thompson, CEO extraordinaire of Golf for Her. As I always like to say, in order to play well, you got to look good. And you always look good when you get clothes from Golf for Her. Christina, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy early birthday, Anita.
Thank you. I hear that you're going to miss my birthday brunch tomorrow. I'm a little disappointed.
I am. Yeah. I'm sorry. Mondays are crazy, but I hear you have a pretty jam-packed day.
Yeah, we've got about 20 of us who are going out to play pickleball in the morning, and then of course things are going to get crazy for lunch. All right.
I haven't bit the pickleball bug yet, so I'm a little concerned about your amount of pickleballing that you're doing, and I hope you have not neglected your golf game. So we need to talk about that offline.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the weather is getting where it needs to be in order for me to go out and play golf. So once we're consistently in the 70s, 75, I'm good. And so, and folks out there going, oh, she's such a wimp. No, I have Raynos. So if my body, and Christina can attest to this, if my body temperature, because we've played several times where I've experienced this and I was like, sorry, Christina, I've got to go into the clubhouse. I'll meet you there with a transfusion. If the weather conditions drop, and it's and my body temperature is really cold, I lose circulation in my fingers and toes and I can't even feel a club. So it's so bad. I can't even go into the frozen food department of the grocery store. Yeah. I just can't do it. So
it
sucks. It sucks. But that's my cross to bear. It's what I have to deal with. So once we get into the 70, 75s consistently, I am out there and I am teeing it up. You can guarantee it.
All right.
As always, we like for you to come in and give us an update on what's going on the women's tour, the ladies tour. Before we talk about the tournament that's being played right now, we have to talk about Nelly Korda, because this chick is playing just as good of golf as Scottie Scheffler is, but nobody's talking about it. Why?
I agree. I mean, Nelly Korda, I mean, she is seemingly unstoppable at this point, right? World number one player. She hasn't lost a tournament since January. She's five tournaments in a row that she has won. I mean, there's not many players on the PGA and or LPGA tour that have done this. I mean, we've got, you know, Tiger Woods, he's won five in a row. Annika Sorenstam, five in a row. Nancy Lopez, five in a row. So Scottie Scheffler hasn't won five in a row. He's won two in a row. We're not talking about Nelly, but what I do like is that there is more conversation happening about women's sports. We had Caitlin Clark, you know, that was, you know, everyone was rallying around her to see the numbers that she was throwing up and the history that she was making. But we're not talking enough about what Nelly is doing right now. And it's incredible what she has accomplished. You know, she has started, she's had five consecutive starts. She's won all of them. And one of them was her second major championship, which she won last week at Chevron in Houston. And so, you know, I don't know how what we have to do, but having opportunities like this on ESPN is talking about it and making sure that it's forefront. It's part of the conversation. We're all talking about the great thing Scottie's doing, but five consecutive wins on tour is an incredible feat. And, you know, I always wonder, like, you know, does it get easier as the players, you know, as Scottie wins, you know, and then you go into the next tournament, does it get easier for them or does it get harder? Is there more pressure? Does it make it, is it harder to get that next win? But, you know, it was interesting. I was listening to an interview with Nancy Lopez, and she was talking about, you know, her fifth win when she won back in like 1978, and someone had asked her, like, you know, was it harder? Like, were the greens, did they feel smaller? Did the fairways seem narrower? Because you have all this pressure. Everyone's watching. Can she do five? She actually said, she's like, it actually seemed a little bit easier. She's like, your confidence just starts to, you know, increase, and the fairways actually seem wider, and the greens seem to be bigger, and the hole seems to be wider. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. So it's not surprising that you see a player like Nelly Korda, where she's just got such calm composure to herself. She's not a high-strung player. She's really enjoyable, to watch. She walks the fairways. She looks comfortable out there. And I think with each win, she feels more and more comfortable. She gets more and more confidence. So, you know, she is off this week. So if anyone's watching to look to see if she's going to go six in a row, she is off this week. She's not playing Wilshire out in Los Angeles this week. So she took the week off, but she will be back at the Cognizant Cup the week of May 9th here in Upper Montclair. So there's a really good chance that she can go out to Upper Montclair and clinch six in a row. Again, she would be the first LPGA Tour player to go six in a row. I mean, that would be put her ahead of so many players. So it'll be interesting to watch. I will definitely be there.
Well, of course you will be. What sets her apart? Like, what is it about her game that she's like, well, like what we know about Scottie Scheffler is like every, like, you know, he's just so consistent, tee to green, you know, he struggles with his putter, which is really insane because, if he was just, you know, if he was middle of the road, in regard to his putting, it would be Tiger-esque. So what is it about her game that she's just so dominant over everybody else, and why this season? What has happened that's made, you know, she's always in contention, I feel like, right? She's always in the top 10, but like why this year has, you know, she won all these tournaments?
Well, you know, her caddy has talked about this a lot, and a lot of her driving accuracy has increased over the last 2 years. Now, if you remember back in 2022, she was sick. She had a blood clot. So she was out of contention in 2022. And so 2023 was kind of like coming back onto the tour. She had to focus on, you know, really reestablishing her swing, her games and everything. And then this year she just, you know, focused on a lot of those core principles. And, you know, her driving accuracy has improved incredibly. Her chipping is like stellar. I mean, she has made some amazing chips. Her, you know, her confidence around the green, you know, I think any of us who play golf knows if you have confidence around the green, so much positive comes out of that, right? It's like when you're in the sand or you're on like, you know, a little crappy lie, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to blade this putt, you know, or blade this chip. And, you know, when you have that confidence, you just relax. And those are all such feel swings. And I think she's done a really good at that. But, you know, her putting, she doesn't lead the tour in putting. I mean, I think she was like, I don't know, I would say maybe just shy of 100th on the LPGA Tour. I mean, her putting is not her strength. It seems like a lot of these really good players where putting is not their strength, and yet they're playing incredible golf because they can get themselves into a good position, right? They play really cerebral. They know where their strengths, they know their weaknesses, and they play into their strengths. And I think she's kind of dialed that in. And I think, you know, her touch with her wedges really provide her opportunities to get those birdies. So I think we're going to see that and her confidence continue to grow.
Again, Christina Thompson, Golf for Her, joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's talk about the tournament today that's taking place, the JM Eagle LA Championship. And we've got a tie at the top of the leaderboard with Grace Kim and in green. Who do you like in this final round? Who do you think brings it home?
I don't know. You know, Hannah Green, she's a defending champion at Wilshire. And, you know, both of them, they're 7-under right now. They've got just a one-shot lead over the – there's a trio of players right behind them. You know, Esther Henslet, Maya Stark, and Jin Hee Kim, who I think she fired a, you know, 18-hole scoring record of 63. So, you know, you've got a little bit – you know, we've got some good players in the rearview mirror. But, you know, Hannah, she's going in with a lot of confidence. I mean, she's played this course before. I always like to say, if you got the defending champion in the lead, let's give her the favor on that. So I'd like to see Hannah get another win today in Wilshire.
Some final thoughts before we let you go. You watching the Zurich? Not too many people are. Golf Channel ratings are down. No surprise.
Yeah.
Who do you like to win in New Orleans today?
Yeah, you know, I actually was thinking the other day, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot there was even a golf tournament today. It was such a yawn fest for me. I know I'm going to hate for saying that, but it's such a yawn fest. I love seeing Rory and Shane Lowry, you know, there. I wouldn't want to be on the top of the leaderboard with those two guys in my rearview mirror. So, you know, it'd be nice to see Rory get a win. My goodness, he hasn't had a win. And I'd like to see him back in the, you know, raising a trophy and with his buddy. So I know everyone likes the other guys and everyone's leaning toward those and, you know, for obvious reasons. But for me, I'd like to see Shane and McIlroy win today. So I'll be on the golf course myself, so I won't be watching the final round of that golf tournament.
Where are you teeing it up today?
I'm heading down to Royce Brook today in Hillsboro, so I have a late afternoon tee time. Weather should be nice and warm. I have a brand new golf bag I can't wait to whip out and test it out on the golf course. So I will be playing my first round of the season today, which is pathetic. But yes, I will be out at Royce Brook today.
You playing with Mark?
I am. I'm playing with Mark, my buddy, our friend Scott, and Chris will be out there. I get to play with the guys. Always playing with the guys, so should be fun. But I got to take some leave. The body's not in the best shape right now, so I got to go pop some pills before we get
funny.
Out there.
All right, well, a big hug and kiss to Mark for me, please. And of course, take their money, Christine. I know you can do it.
I'm trying. My goal is to be a hustler. I when I started playing golf, I'm like, I just want to play golf so I can hustle people. have a great birthday.
Thank you, sweetheart. Christina Thompson, again, joining us here from Golf for Her. Okay, to conclude the show, I'm just going to rewind here, give you my plays and my bets. Blair and Fishburne at the top leaderboard at Zurich, minus 23 under, plus 450 for them to win, minus 140 for them to finish in the top five. I'm staying away from them. I think their nerves very well could get the best of them today. I am going to throw a little bit of coin on List and Norlander. They're one shot back. You can get them at 5-1. I'm also going to put money down that they're going to finish in the top five at minus 125. If you like Rory and Lowry, plus 260, Lowry's just not playing good enough for me to put money on them. And of course, they're favored. I'm going to double down. This is the team that I had prior to the tournament starting. And that's Nick Taylor and Adam Hadwin, the Canadian twosome. And you could get them right now at 9-1 to come back and win this. They're three shots back. They tee off at 1:22 p.m. this afternoon. Probably my favorite wager is for them to finish in the top five at plus 140. So that's how I'm playing it. Good luck to everybody out there. Appreciate you tuning in to On the Tee. I want to thank John Mascari and Christina Thompson.